Maria? You might know that I love football. Rumors could have been floating about. Somebody could have told you. I got to do this again. Every now and again, I just got to wander a little close to you. See, if you don't want me this close, you got to bring a lot of your friends and fill the sanctuary, and then I'll go back up there. How's that for incentive? I love football. I have loved football since a very young age. I'm from Philadelphia, but that's actually not where I was born. And the first 8 years of my life, I lived in a very small town, western Pennsylvania, called Everett. Some of you football guys, tell me what western Pennsylvania is known for. Some great football. Dan Marino, yes. I grew up despising Dan Marino because, being a Penn State fan, back at that time, Penn State and Pitt played in the same conference. They played often, and they were rivals. And if you were a Penn State fan, you, of course, must hate Pitt. Dan Marino was the quarterback for Pitt, and he was a very cocky young guy. In fact, now he's a very cocky older guy, who I still don't like. You had Penn State with Joe Paterno coaching some very excellent teams there. You have some of your great quarterbacks came from Western Pennsylvania, guys like Jim Kelly. I think Joe Namath came from Western PA. There's a number of them that came from that area. And high school football was huge. College football was big. And I was born in 1970. You might have known of another NFL team in the Western Pennsylvania area that kind of was prominent at that time. Pittsburgh Steelers in the 70s ruled. And I can tell you the guys on those teams, I can tell you Terry Bradshaw was the quarterback, Lynn Swan, John Stallworth, Rocky Blyer, Franco Harris, Mike Webster, Mel Blount, Mean Joe Green, Elsie Greenwood, all these guys. I had their football cards. I began watching football as a young kid in the 70s in Western Pennsylvania, watching one of the best football teams to ever play the game. Got me hooked. Later on, at the age of 8, like I say, I moved to Philadelphia and began following the Eagles, and from then on, I've been an Eagles fan. But my point is, I love football. And I think there's probably many elements of why I look like football. I like the violence. Let's just be straight honest. Here's a game where you can just knock the stuffing out of somebody, and it's okay. You gotta like that. You just gotta. So I like football. And I like the aspect that it's a team sport. I've watched golf. I've watched tennis. And I somewhat enjoy that, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Watching some individual try to do something for himself as opposed to watching a team win when they're all working together, I'd rather watch the team. Because you recognize that, you know what? There's not any one person who's going to win that game. If they don't have the help and cooperation of the other guys with them, it's not going to happen. It's just not. No, I mentioned those guys on that Steelers team. Terry Bradshaw, great quarterback. If Terry Bradshaw didn't have Lynn Swan to throw to, if he didn't have Franco Harris running the ball behind him, if he didn't have an awesome offensive line, guess what? There's no touchdowns and there's no Super Bowls, there's no wins. And so there's that aspect of team. And I want to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And we've actually looked at this before, so if some of this sounds familiar to you, say, I think you've talked about this before. It's okay, it's because I have. But it's going to be a refresher for some, a reminder. It's good stuff. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, I'm obviously going to use this football as an illustration today. I've already talked about the idea of it as a team sport, and so I want us to kind of get that, right? So if you kind of want to view the body of Christ, and as the body of Christ, we understand what? We're made up of different parts, right? Different players, different people. Picture that in the concept of a team concept, as the body of Christ being a team that works together. The first thing I think we need to understand then is that we should be a team player, right? If you have a guy who is all about himself and doesn't care about the other players on the team, how well is that going to work? I'll give you an example, because I know you were asking for one. So, I remember Terrell Owens a few years ago was a superstar player, and he thought a lot about himself. In fact, way too much about himself. And I remember the Philadelphia Eagles picked up Terrell Owens to play on their team. And everybody thought, wow, Donovan McNabb, he's going to throw it to Terrell Owens, we're going to do great, blah, blah, blah. I think it was the second season he was there. Didn't even last the whole season. Why? Because he shot his mouth off and about, hey, I'm not getting the ball as much, I should get more attention, blah, blah, blah. And the coach said, you know what, guess what you're going to do. You're going to sit on the bench the rest of the season, and as soon as the season's over, you're out of here, you're off the team. That was a good coach, because he recognized, listen, if you don't want to work with the team, it ain't going to work. In the body of Christ, each and every one of us needs to understand we've got to be a team player. If we're not a team player, it's really not going to work. And think about this. Verse 1 of our text, let's look at that. Verse 1 says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now, I want you to think about just that word calling. There's this idea that God called you, God selected you, God chose you. I want to say it this way, God drafted you. You know, every year there's the NFL draft, and the coaches look at all the college players and say, okay, we're going to have a draft, and we each take a turn choosing which player we want to play on our team. And what an honor it is, and typically you'll hear these guys talk, these college guys, they get chosen and they'll say, I'm just so happy that the Seattle Seahawks chose me. I'm in the NFL, man. It's only later after they go home they say, the Seahawks? Seriously? Are you kidding me? That's what they say later. But at the time they say, I'm in the NFL, man. It's an honor to be chosen to play on an NFL team. Out of all of the college players, it is a small number that ever make it into the NFL. When you consider all of those colleges, all of those teams, very few make it to the NFL. And there's this idea that, in fact, those players ought to kind of have sort of an air of humility to them, right? My goodness, what an honor. I've been chosen to play in the NFL. That's unreal. That's incredible. I should walk in such a way that is worthy of that calling. I should have an attitude that says, I respect this, and I respect this honor that's been given to me to play at this level. Paul says, I urge you, brothers, live a life worthy of your calling. Say, oh my goodness, I've been drafted by the King of Kings to play on this team. What a humbling thing that is, right? What an honor that is. And I look at myself and I say, Lord, you're calling me to play on your team. I don't really have good skills at all. I was that kid growing up on the playground and they'd choose sides. If there was a dog in the mix, they would have chosen the dog before me. That's how lastly I would have been chosen to play on the team. And oftentimes we feel that way in the kingdom, don't we? We say, Lord, why do you know the sins I've struggled with? You know the habits, you know the baggage that I bring with me? You want me? Seriously? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, Paul tells the team in Corinth, he says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called, when you were drafted. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. It's kind of like those guys, every now and again, somebody squeaks into the NFL from this no-name college. Right? They're not a Division I school. They're a little nothing out in the middle of nowhere school, and somebody who's smart enough to discover who they are, and I get them on a team, and you're like, you're in the NFL, but you came from nowhere. You didn't come from some, you know, high reputation school. You know, you didn't come from Linebacker University. That's Penn State for all you non-Penn State folks. You didn't come from Penn State. God's favorite college team. You came from this little nothing school somewhere else. And some of us, Paul says, you know what, guys? You guys didn't come from the top-notch pile. God chose you, drafted you, and your lack of skill, your lack of talent, all of your stuff, and he said, I want you. Therefore, live a life worthy of your calling. Recognize, no, I didn't deserve to get drafted. I don't deserve to be on the team. But my goodness, that ought to only serve to inspire me even more to live a life worthy of the calling. Lord, I don't deserve this, but I am going to spend the rest of my life in gratitude. I'm going to spend the rest of my life humbly serving you because I'm just overwhelmed that you had chosen me, that you've called me to be yours. None of us deserve to be drafted, but we were chosen to be on this championship team. And it is a championship team, and this is one of the things we forget with. We spend time being discouraged about things and we forget that the body of Christ is not a failing team. You didn't get chosen to be on the Seahawks. Okay? Now, it's going to hurt me a little to say this. You got chosen to be on the Patriots. You got chosen to be on a winning team. You got chosen to be on the winningest team. You got chosen to be on the best team. You got chosen to be on a Super Bowl champion team. Chapters 1 through 3, we've already dealt with this. We've looked at this. It talks about how awesome it is to be on God's team. It says we are a new creation seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. It says that every blessing in the heavenly realms has been given to you. That sounds like a champion. Winners. Now, Paul has talked about all of the blessings that we have in Christ. He talks about this great calling, and the remainder of this chapter moves into, okay, recognize your calling. You have a great calling. You're on a great team. Now it's time to put your cleats on. It's time to suit up. It's time to put the pads on. It's time to put the uniform on. It's time to get ready to play a little ball, right? Imagine, it'd be wonderful to say, yeah, I'm a player, I play. But you never put the suit on, you never pick up the ball, you never throw it. What kind of a player is that? Right? There are some things that we need to do. We need to have some qualities if we're going to be in action. And Paul actually talks about some of those specific qualities that we need. go back here a little bit. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Okay, so he's saying, you're going to have to live a life worthy of calling. Recognize your calling. Be humble about that. And then he goes and again says here, be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. If you're going to be on a team and you're going to work together, you can't be a Terrell Owens, right? You just can't. You've got to be the kind of person that says, okay, coach, whatever you ask me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to care about how my other players are acting and what they're doing, and I'm going to be sensitive to that. If you don't do that, it's going to be really hard to work together and win. Imagine having an offensive line that doesn't pay attention to when the center is going to hike the ball. Well, I'm just going to stand up whenever I want to. I'm ready to knock the other guy across the line. Guess what? You're going to get a penalty. That's offsides. You can't do that. And you go backwards. Why? Because you cared more about doing whatever you wanted instead of paying attention to when we all together start the play. I really think this football thing works for this, doesn't it? Have some qualities like humility. Recognize it ain't all about me. It's about us. Gentleness. Gentleness can be defined as restraint or controlled strength. Now these guys, you see somebody, how many of you have actually been to an NFL game? You've seen a live football game. You see these monsters on the field, they're big. Some of these guys are 350 pounds and buddy, they can move. It's insane. Steroids make a great football player. So, anyway, these guys are monsters. And even some of these defensive backs, right? They're playing the game, and they're big guys themselves. A receiver's going to come, and he could hit him and keep him from catching the ball. But what does he have to do? Well, there's this idea of controlled strength. Yes, I have strength. I could clean the guy's clock before the ball gets there, but that's going to be a penalty. It's going to require... There's times for restraint. There's times to hold back and say, this is not the time for that. And again, be in the body of Christ. There's times where we need to be gentle. We might want to blast that person. Be gentle. And in fact, you might say, but the Bible says they did this wrong and it says it right here. Be gentle. Scripture says if you're going to show your brother his fault, do it in love. Gentleness, controlled strength, patience, forbearance, putting up with other people's faults. I guarantee you, in every locker room, after every game, they could say, hey, you know what? Dude, you hiked that ball at the wrong time. We got a penalty on that. We didn't get to score. We lost the game. It's your fault. Right? There's any number of mistakes that we're going to make. Forbearance. Putting up with other people's faults, we have to realize that, you know what? Yeah, it's true. We goofed. But you know what? We're all going to goof. We got to put up with that, and we have to say, Lord, you're just going to have to help us a little more to work together. Paul says in verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Be a team player. Peace, providing unity. Make every effort. Keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. As we're peacefully dealing with one another, we're able to have unity of the Spirit. And I love this phrase. We mentioned it a few minutes ago. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one team. One team. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. He's using this word one quite a bit, right? It has even more significance when we realize that Paul is talking to a church at Ephesus that was made up of Jews and Gentiles. This idea of Gentiles actually being even allowed on the team was pretty big stuff to the Jews. How dare these guys get allowed on the team? And yet, Paul's saying, nope, you're all one team. You're together. All right. Need a player position. Talks in here, verses 7 through 12, about the gifts that God gave to the church. And it says in verse 11, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Here's the point. Everybody has a position. And Paul identifies some of the leading positions. He says some of you are pastors and teachers, some of you are evangelists, some of our prophets, apostles, right? He's kind of calling out some of the positions on the team. But he also says God's people who do the works of service, right? There's nobody insignificant in this whole list. And it's interesting, it says to prepare God's people for works of service. And we could make the mistakes of saying, well, those people that he's talking about here, God's people that are being prepared for works of service, well, they're not as significant as the pastors and the teachers or the apostles. Oh, yes, they are. Absolutely. Every bit is important. Every bit is necessary. There is not a part that's not necessary, but a different role to play. If you're 350 pounds, I'm not looking at anyone, no. If you're 350 pounds, you're 6'8". It is likely, well, first of all, you're not Maria. It's also likely that you're not the quarterback. Okay? Now that day may happen. Maybe there will be a 6'8", 350 pound quarterback. I'm thinking probably not. You're a lineman. You're going to be on the offensive line or defensive line. You're going to be one of the big guys pushing and shoving stuff around. That's just what you're going to be doing. And if you're 5'9" and you're 170 pounds, you ain't a lineman. If you are a lineman, you're going to be a dead lineman. Okay? That's how that's going to work. Here's the thing. Find your position and play it. Understand what your role is and play it. That's it. It isn't that one is good and one is bad. It's every single one of them is necessary. And we need to understand that. I understand that he mentions specific roles, but all the roles are important. Offensive linemen, in many respects, are probably the least recognized players on the team in many football teams. You think of the guys that get more attention, the quarterback and the running back and the wide receiver. Those guys are, all three of them, dead if the offensive line doesn't protect them. End of story. Know your role and simply play your position. Paul kind of says here that these guys, these apostles, prophets, preachers, teachers, these guys, what is their job? In many respects, their job is just to help you understand what your role is and say, you know what, I really see you have a particular love for this. God is helping you and seeing that. Let's find a way we can use that ministry here at the church. Okay? And so some of these leadership positions say, let me help you with that. Let me show you where God can really put you in a place where you can be most effective. All parts are necessary. All parts are important. All of us need each other. And one final point. We need to stick to the playbook, right? Verse 13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful schemings. Verse 13, it says we're to be unified in our faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. And as we are doing this, as we're being unified and working together, what happens? We're growing in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Where are we going to get that? Where are we going to get that knowledge of the Son of God? Where are we going to get that information? I know you know this. Right here, right? Where do you understand about the knowledge of the Son of God? Where do you find out more about Jesus Christ? Where do you find out more about what he wants us to do? Right here in his Bible, right? In the book that he's given us. You got it, Sheila. We'll make you a linebacker. You got to stick to the playbook. All right? If we're going to get all this knowledge that we need, we get it from looking at the playbook and saying, this is what the playbook says, we're going to run this play, right? And as we begin to run the plays that the coach calls through his word, right, then we're able to counteract the defenses that are thrown at us. And Satan will blitz us, he will attack us, he will try to sack us, destroy us, right? And here's the thing. Sometimes a quarterback will get into his head, yeah, coach, I know you want me to run this play, but I said the heck with that, I'm going to run this play. And what happens? Sometimes defense cleans the guy's clock and they lose yardage because instead of doing what he was told to do, instead of sticking to the game plan, doing what the playbook said, he decided he'd just call the shots. And I don't need to really know so much what the coach says about what we're supposed to do, and I'm just going to kind of run my own play. And here's the thing. You're going to be on the team of Jesus Christ. You're going to be on the body of Christ. You're going to be on the team, and you're going to say, you know what? Yeah, I know the Bible. I know that playbook, you know, and it says I should be doing this over here. But I'm pretty savvy enough. I've been on this team long enough. I think I'm going to do this. Get ready to be sacked. Get ready for Satan's linebacking crew to take you out. You've got to stick to the playbook. I love it when it says here, if we are reaching unity in the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature. And in so many places in Scripture, when Paul and others talk about becoming mature, they're referring to this idea of knowing the Word of God and living according to it. All right? If you are mature in your faith, you're mature in your understanding of the Word of God, you know the playbook inside and out and you're following it, then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. There are times, it's kind of interesting to watch. I remember in 1991, the Philadelphia Eagles had, Buddy Ryan was their coach. They had Jerome Brown and Reggie White were on that defensive line, and Seth Joyner, Byron Evans, Andre Waters was a mean safety. These guys, basically, they didn't even win past the first round of playoffs. But when they lined up to play defense, they just pounded the stuffing out of the offense. Their offense wasn't that great, but their defense was unbelievable. And in one Monday night game against the Houston Oilers, I think they carried three quarterbacks of the Houston Oilers off the field because the Eagles just kept on tearing them to bits. I liked that game. Here's the thing. You look at that poor quarterback who's just getting knocked around all over the place and taken out of the game, right? That's what's going to happen to you if you stay away from the playbook. If you say, no, I'm smart enough. I'll fight my own battles. Stick to the playbook. Because as you grow in what the knowledge of the Son of God, as you grow in what the Word of God teaches you, then when those defensive schemes come at you, you're going to be able to recognize them, you're going to be able to dodge them, you're going to be able to walk in the ways where you're supposed to walk, and you're not going to get thrown down. You're not going to get thrown around like that, those poor Houston Oilers quarterbacks. Stick to the playbook. Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Paul's basically saying, you know what? I know this playbook. I'm sticking to it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm going to stick to it because it works. It's an effective strategy for winning. All right. As a body of Christ, as the team, if we play as a team player, as we play our own position, as we stick to the playbook, what happens? Verse 16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What happens? We will be built up in love. We will do what we've been called to do. We will win the game. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I love that, as each part does its work. Again, it's that whole understanding of a team. When everybody's doing their part, when everybody's in love, doing what they're called to do, playing their position, according to what the Word of God says, we're going to be joined together. We're going to have that unity that we need, and we're going to have victory. Are you doing your work? Are you recognizing your role and doing what God's called you to do? Do you see yourself as a team player? Are you playing your position? And are you sticking to the playbook? Those are some things we want to think about. Well, I am just thrilled to be on this team. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've called us together. You've called us to one another. And you've given us your word, which shows us the way that we should go, how we should interact with one another, and how we can effectively win as your body, as a team of champions. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.